to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I've enjoyed the studies that we've been doing, and I'll be real honest with you tonight. The study that we're doing tonight was one that I would call difficult as far as to truly give a, I guess I would call it a clear, concise teaching of it, but I think that the Lord has given me what I could share with you tonight. And what I can tell you is, you know, in the Bible it tells us about the spiritual battle that we're in. And Paul, down in the last, next to the last verse, or third from the end, in verse 23, says it there. He says, I see another law in my members warring against the law in my mind. And I tried to frame our lesson tonight. Again, we're in Romans chapter number 7. And we've been teaching, Paul's been teaching through chapter 6, walking in the newness of life, walking, if you will, in the Spirit. And he'll get to that in chapter 8. But as Paul, I always think of his writings to be very concentrated. And when I say concentrated, there's a lot in a little. And if you break it all down, we could be in chapter 7 for quite some time. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I wanted to fully develop it in my mind so that I could give you what I feel that God has given me from this. But he's been teaching that walking in newness of life. And here in chapter 7, we seen last week in verse 6 that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He talked about faith in chapter 4 of Abraham. He talked about the headship or the ownership, if you will, in chapter 5 of Adam, taking us into sin, but us as well being responsible for our sin. And then he got to chapter 6, and he started talking about yielding to righteousness. So as I put all that in my mind and my thinking, I see Paul making a clear and concise teaching, but it's not in just a few verses. It's in a lot of verses. And it's going to continue on through chapter 8. And really, for me, it continues on through chapters 9 and 10, although he changes his subject. And then he gets back to it in chapter 12, 13, and 14. But look at verse 7, if you will. And I'll show you what I've kind of been confronted with this week. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me in this lesson tonight. Lord, I wish there were a lot of young people and a lot of older Christians would get a hold of this teaching. I wished I could get a hold of it better. Lord, it's taught me a lot this week. I pray, Lord, I'd hold on to it. And Lord, try to, if you will, get all the spiritual nutrition from it that is possible at this time. So I pray for those that are lost that will listen to this. Lord, pray they'll get saved. I pray for the Christian today that has maybe tried or attempted to live for you and they've struggled and maybe they feel like they failed. Here's Paul, and he gives us his struggle, so I pray that it'll help us today. I thank you for Jesus Christ, died on the cross, and he rose again the third day, and we pray it all. Pray this prayer in his name, Jesus Christ, amen. So again, he gives this statement, is the law sin? And tonight, I'm going to let you know up front, the Bible is the inspired word of God. It is without error, it's without mistake. And Paul is leaving a contrast. Now, last time, in the earlier verses up here, Paul conditioned us to a marriage and our relationship. And if you look right there in verse 4 of Romans 7, he says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another." And who's it talking about? He's talking about relationships, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What would Paul's desire be is that we would be as fruitful as possible, and to walk in that newness of life would mean to be fruitful. So if we think about it that way, and like I say, the reason why I'm going through all this little bit of talk, I don't want you to think ill of the Word of God or think that I am. But Paul's saying the law, the Bible, the Ten Commandments, he says he wouldn't have known that he had sinned unless it was from that. Now look what it says in verse number 8, "But sin taking occasion." That word occasion is going to be mentioned again down in verse 11. And actually that same phrase, it says "but sin" in verse 8, and it says "for sin" in verse 11, but it says "taking occasion by the commandment." What's it talking about when it says "the commandments"? Well, I think it's talking about the one he mentions there in verse 7, "thou shalt not covet." What does it mean to covet something? Well, we'll look at that in just a moment. But first, I want to build the case up for the Bible. In verse 10, it says, "and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." Verse 12, "wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment," and I think he's talking about thou shalt not covet, "the commandment holy and just and good." In verse 14, it says, "for we know that the law," the Bible, the Ten Commandments, however he's framing that, for us it would be the whole entire Bible, is spiritual. But he says, "but I'm carnal, sold under sin." So the law is not bad in of itself, but it does reveal sin in our life. If we read the Bible daily, and I try to read a proverb every day, and just by example, you know, in Proverbs, it tells you a lot of vices of how to think, well, let's just use an example. "For by pride, only by pride cometh contention." You have contention in a relationship, in your marriage, between your kids, between friends. The Bible says it's only by pride. So how do we address that? We try to figure out in what way are we being prideful that we can grow from that and not have pride in that situation. And Paul, again, he frames this. Now look down in verse 22. I want to give you the conclusion before we get any farther. Now tonight's message or lesson is spiritual warfare, or the spiritual battle 101. I wish young people would watch this. I know as far as what I see, as far as who's watching this, I don't see very many young people watching Facebook Live. I don't hear them on our phone calls. I see them at church on Sunday morning and not so much at church on Sunday night. And I think that they're missing this because they give a profession of faith. They get saved and then maybe they try to do right and they struggle and they can't figure it out. Paul's laying that out here. In verse 22, Paul says, "for I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He's talking about the saved man that's within him. Verse 23, "but he says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's not talking about salvation, okay? Now, Paul was a Pharisee. He was a legalist, if you will. He strove by the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, before his salvation. And now he's trying to learn how to live this Christian life. And I'm here to tell you that it can be somewhat defeating at times when we try to do right. And Paul's laying this out for us. Remember, we talked about yielding in the last few lessons. We can yield to righteousness, which is life, But I got a feeling that some people pull their car or make the turn towards righteousness, and they get so far down the road and they have struggles. Why? Just the same thing that Paul's saying. They start reading their Bible and they start seeing things that they need help with. They need to get fixed. And he's going to help us farther over in chapter 8. I guarantee it, because he's going to talk about the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I do want to go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and lay out my argument for what I think Paul is talking about. Jesus said, "I am the true vine," verse 1, "and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So I think that's the answer for our lesson tonight. I think that as we strive to yield to righteousness, we'll read the Bible, we'll see some things that God needs to, if you will, mature in us, or maybe correct, and he's pruning us so that we can, what, get more fruit in our life. Jesus says there in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." And then the verse that we've all heard more than the others, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." So Paul, over in chapter 7, he lays out a series of just astounding verses. I mean, it blows me away. I want you to just bear with me for a minute and look in verse 8. At the end of the verse, it says, "For without the law," it says, "For without the law, sin was dead." Then he says in verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." And then it says at the end of verse number 10, "I found to be unto death." Verse 11, "And sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Verse number 13, "Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid." Now he's talking about that commandment or the law. "God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. And we know that the law is spiritual, for I am carnal, sowed under sin." So we got to go back up and see what Paul is worried about. Maybe Paul was a very covetous person. We don't have any reference to that, except for possibly right here. And I want to ask you, are you covetous? Or do you really have a clear understanding of it? Let's think about the definition. It is to set the heart upon that which is longed for, rightfully or otherwise. Now, we talked about legalism last week, and to be in a church and to expect everybody to have the same convictions as us is, and we'll cover that in chapter 13 or chapter 14, that's difficult. Not everybody has the same conviction as us. Although everybody should be growing in their understanding of Scripture, but not everybody's there yet. Or not everybody's even going to get there yet sometimes. But we've seen Paul, and let's go a little bit further on this, to have a desire for. What's a good example of that? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, we see Jesus up here asking the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter gave a wonderful answer. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But down in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now you probably have heard this account. In verse 22, "Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now we can criticize Peter, only because we know the response that Jesus had. But if it was, if that response was left out, we would think that's pretty good because he's trying to protect Jesus. And again, that's the flesh. Now, we're going to get into that in just a moment because that's what Paul's going to get to. He's going to say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In us, our flesh can do no good thing. Nothing of us can do. But he says in verse 23, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Was it wrong for Peter to desire to protect Jesus? I don't think it was. But we have verse 21, and Jesus said what was going to happen, so Peter should have trusted God. He should have trusted what Jesus said is what should happen. Aren't we kind of the same way? We read the Bible, we see, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. Have all of us picked our cross up and started following Jesus in a surrendered fashion? Maybe we have good days, maybe we have bad days, maybe not. But back over in chapter 7, Paul gets back to this thing. And really, I want to go back to chapter 13 in Romans. Here's a pretty good little thing here in Romans 13. He says in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the what? The law. Okay, so we take the legalism, we take the law. We're supposed to obey the Bible, right? We are. But if we're just doing it out of duty and not because we want to reveal our love to Jesus Christ, we would not be getting the full measure of it. He says there in verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Are we good so far? Is everybody obeying those pretty good? Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you'll remember, and you were with us last week, I finished with 1 Corinthians 13, how that charity suffereth long, it envieth not, it beareth all things. And all the other verses that went with that. So, in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So again, this is a continuing teaching by Paul. He's given a big picture, but right here he's given us a small dose of it. So what does that mean for us? How do we get to this? He reveals back in our text how that the law, when that commandment reveals that we're guilty, it brings forth death. That's great to know, isn't it? Let me remind us that anything that we do for God in the flesh, it's going to be unfruitful. He's already told us that. He's going to continue to tell us that. He's going to tell us that in chapter 8. He's telling us this here because Paul knows verse 18, when he's rewriting verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. He says in verse 16, then if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Why is there sin dwelling in him? Because he's doing it in the flesh. He's having a struggle with the flesh. Paul's teaching, maybe by experience, and we got to think about coveting. Coveting is a lust. Now, if you look back up in 7 and 8, I want to just share with you a little bit about what I maybe have captured from this that will help us. We see at the end of verse 7, for I had not known lust. Okay, lust. That's just the desire for things, the wanting of things, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And then he goes into verse 8 and says, but sin taking occasion. That word occasion is like opportunity. There's an occasion, there's an opportunity by the commandment, by that commandment, I think he's talking about covet. And he says, wrought, which means it is fulfilled or it's completed in me, all manner of compunctions. That word lust and compunctions are the same word. They both mean lust. They both mean to desire things that we shouldn't have. For without the law, sin was dead. And he goes on to say, and I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So how can we get some help from this? How can we move forward in this? Remember, love fulfills the law. Remember, love, as Jesus said, we looked at last week in Matthew 22, upon all these hang all the law and the prophets, if thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, those things, that's where it all hangs at. Now, I want to give you some good news. Go over to chapter 8. It says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. A lot of people quote that, but they fail to finish the rest of the verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, you can't serve God in the flesh, right? And we're going to have some verses here in just a moment that I think will help us to see this, okay? And I don't think I marked it, but I'll look at it here in just a moment. But in verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what he's been talking about in chapter 7. Okay? Now look down in verse 13, same chapter 8. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That word mortify means to put to death or to tamp down, to make of none effect. Now back over in chapter 7, I want to move down to some more writings here. I want to quote for you verse 18 and then look at what he says from there to through verse, I think, 21. He says, for I know that in me. Now again, Paul's a great example of a Christian missionary, a Christian person. He says, for I know. And that mean know, it's a Greek word, ginosko. That mean is to learn, to or to come to an understanding. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now keep up with this, because this is a little bit wordy right here. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then we've already read verse 21. So Paul says, what I want to do, I'm unable to do, but that which I don't want to do, I end up doing. Why? Because we have to deal with this flesh. We have to compete with it, if you will. And I had a verse in Haggai, and I don't know whether I'll be able to bring it up to you tonight or not, because I had it marked. Go to Haggai chapter 2. Go to the book of Matthew and just turn to your left a little bit. I think it's in verse 12 what I want to look at. I heard this today in a message I was listening to, and I thought it would apply good here. Because a lot of times, we as Christians, we forget that we can't mix the flesh and the spirit. That's why this is called the Spiritual Battle 101. This lesson is to remind us that we're in a battle against the flesh and the spirit, and we want the spirit to win. And remember, we talked about the black and white dog, or the story of the two dogs. One was evil, one was good. And the young man asked, which one will win? And the grandfather said, the one that you feed. That's the same principle here. Which one's going to win, your flesh or the spirit? It's the one that you feed. In verse 12 of Haggai 2, it says, if one bear holy flesh. Now, don't let that word flesh, that's talking about a sacrifice or an accepted sacrifice by God. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt, of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy." He's asking, if you take that sacrificed piece of meat, in other words, let's look at it this way. If we take us being saved in Jesus Christ and we touch unclean things, will that make it clean? The priest answered and said, "No." And then Haggai said, "If one is unclean by a dead body, touch any of these, shall it be unclean?" The answer is yes. That's what the priest said, it shall be unclean. So we can't mix our flesh, which is unclean, which is sinful in its nature. We can't mix that with working for God. We can't mix that in the way that this is. So the Word of God reveals to us the knowledge of sin, and it's beneficial. Why is it beneficial? It seems like it's pretty tough to do. I think Paul thought it was beneficial because he admitted to his sinful nature. And I don't know if all of y'all were at the message a few weeks back when I talked about ownership. We must own the fact that we have a sinful nature, and we need to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So, look in verse 24. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." That kind of puts it in simple terms, does it not? That helps me to understand what I need to know about this serving God. Now, I would ask you to go to Isaiah 26. Just some confirmation verses here, and then we'll close. In verse 3, how are we going to be able to control our mind? In verse 3 of Isaiah 26, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When you are being bombarded by the thoughts of the world, Facebook, kids, work, friends, TV, that's a toughie. I mean, you just watch any of the news channels and it seems like there's an argument coming because that's the way they've got it set up. But it says there, "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." I want to go to Philippians chapter 2. Actually, I want to go over to chapter 4 first and verse 3. And I'm wrong again, verse 13. We know this verse, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That doesn't say I can do all things when Rick and Jesus do it. No, that means I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That word strengthen is a strong word. It means to be strong, and be endued with strength, to receive strength, to increase in strength. Now back over in Philippians chapter 2. Again, we're talking about that mind, the spiritual, the mind. And we'll look at verse 8 in chapter 8 here in just a moment too of Romans. It says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now in Romans chapter 7, I will go back there for just a moment, down at the bottom of the chapter, think about the deliverance that we need. He said in verse 24, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, chapter 8. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? It means to be one who is filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we're going to try to strive to obtain through these studies that we got here. Next week, we're going to get into maybe a more positive look at this. But he says in verse 9 of chapter 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him, none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. There's that sin and death, that yielding to the unrighteousness, but the yielding to righteousness. Look, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See the pattern that Paul's given us? Now, the reason why I went kind of to these pains, if you will, to describe this, I'm hoping and praying that you and myself will look closer at these verses ourselves and do a personal reflection and even a personal accountability of ourselves so that we can learn more. There's no chance that I could give you everything that I'd seen this week in chapter 7, and I'm not going to spend week after week because you were probably tired and listening to me, but I'm here to tell you that if we're going to live in the flesh, it's going to be unfruitful. It's going to bring forth, if you will, death in the sense of a spiritual sense. But if we can learn to yield, if we can learn to understand the law and how it is to be lived in the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, and if we can see that our only chance to have victory or deliverance is Jesus Christ. You say, Rick, I already knew that. Yeah, but it's something that we have to choose to do. We have to choose that road to life and righteousness. We have to choose to not yield to the lust, to the coveting, to all those different things. We have to choose that. That's after salvation. So I pray that tonight's lesson will help you and me to know that this spiritual battle, we need to learn about it. We need to understand it and grasp it in a greater sense so that we can walk forward and be fruitful for God. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, for Christians tonight. I don't know how you speak to them as far as through the Spirit through this. I know that if the Spirit of God is speaking to them, Lord, it's not me speaking to them. It's God through His Spirit. And it's revealing things in their life that maybe they need to change. Maybe they're gossiping. Maybe they're backbiting. Maybe they're being a hindrance to their mate. Maybe their child. Maybe their father or mother. Maybe there's strife in that family. Maybe they need to learn, like Paul did, this covetousness, wanting something that we really shouldn't have. So God, however you speak, I pray that you'll use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you like this message, please share it, like it. I appreciate you guys being on Facebook with us. And we'll be back Sunday morning at a little bit after 11 o'clock. So until then, we'll see you later, guys. Thanks. Have a good night.